Thank you, Linda. Let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus so that others may know and others may be blessed. Great message in that song. Also want to say good to have Travis back. The Griggs are not here this morning, so they're probably ill. I know that Geraldine was really struggling last week, so pray for the Griggs. Good to have Travis back. And I'm sure I'm missing some. You know, it's hard to think of everybody when you're up here, but what's that? Oh, Pat's back. Yeah, Pat's back. Both Pats are back. You guys were sick last week. So if you got your Bible this morning, turn over to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. Now, the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah, sometimes we think of it as a children's story. It's a very popular children's story. And some years ago, I can't remember exactly, maybe 2 or 3 weeks on the book of Jonah. And my perspective during those weeks was the fact that Jonah was non-caring about the city of Nineveh. He didn't care for them. He didn't have a love in his heart for them. Well, this morning, I want to look at something just a little bit different. It involves some of that. But I want to look at the fact that rejecting to go to Nineveh, Jonah was actually disobedient to the Lord. And we're going to look at that for just a minute, because it's so easy to say no to the Lord when He impresses upon our heart to do things. And we're going to start reading in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the chance to look in your word. And I just pray, God, that you'd be with us as we look at these verses. And we just get a little insight into this book about Jonah's reluctance and his disobedience. We know sometimes, God, we get disobedient. But we also know that that usually comes from something that's in our head or in our heart, Lord. And we want to look at Jonah's disobedience and his reluctance to go and what caused it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the book of Jonah, a very short book, only 48 verses in this entire book, and it's typically thought that it's a book about Jonah's story, and it is to a point, but it's really about God's mercy. It's really about God's forgiveness and His mercy. First of all, we have Jonah's disobedience and the judgment that God put upon him because he disobeyed against the Lord. But then we see that God forgave him. He gave him second chances to be used by God. So it was about God's forgiveness. And then we see that the people of Nineveh later in the book repented of their sins before the Lord, and God forgave them as well. And so it's a book about God's loving kindness and His forgiveness and His mercy. And we as Christians, we believe it. We take it as face value that all this happened. And, you know, many times people who are not saved or maybe the secular world looks at stories like this in the Bible and they say, well, that cannot happen. How in the world could a man stay 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale? And, well, you know, here's the thing. We're not God. And God who made that well and God who made that water that well was in, He has ways of doing things that we simply do not understand. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The biggest thing that you and I as a child of God and a reader of this story is just believe that it happened. Just have faith that it took place. Jesus even used this story in the New Testament. He says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." So even Jesus believed that this happened, and He used it in His ministry as He was preaching on the earth. Now Jonah's name meant dove. And when we hear the word dove, we think of something sweet, something soft, and something maybe some congenial idea pops into our head. And Jonah really was anything but that. David Levy, who is often in those magazines that we have back on the table, Israel My Glory, says this right here. "The prophet Jonah can be described as a narrow-minded, fiercely zealous patriot who defended the name of his God and had no pity on Israel's enemies, especially the Assyrians." Now, the Nineveh was a city. It was the capital city of Assyria, okay? And so he hated the Assyrians because of their cruelty, their indescribable cruelty to the nations they conquered. And Jonah wanted to see them destroyed. Now, Jonah was a man who loved his God, and he loved his country, and he was so fiercely zealous toward the Lord that he had a hatred for his enemies. And honestly, to tell you the truth, he was a little bit full of himself. And just be patient with me as I give you that description of Jonah. But God told him to do something, and Jonah thought that he had the better thing to do, and he did his own thing, and he was full of himself. And in this book, it shows that God had to put him through an experience to bring him down to a level where he would actually serve the Lord and do what he was supposed to do. Now, there are two dynamics in this book. As the word dynamics shows, this is a little part of the book, a little part of history that helps us understand what's going on in the book. And the first one is this right here. All through the years in the nation of Israel, God had told them to completely take the land that He had given them, and Get rid of all the inhabitants. Now there again, kind of like the man in the well of the belly for 3 days. We don't fully understand why God told them to do that. But he told them to do that. And they would go into a land, and God had told them all these many, many stories in the Old Testament to completely get rid of the inhabitants of the land, make them go away. But they didn't always do that. As we, as God's people sometimes, just like we do, we sometimes reason in our head. And God might lead upon us to do something else. He might impress upon our heart to do something specific. And we start thinking about it. And, well, I don't know if I'm the right person for that. That's what God's people, the nation of Israel, did in this case. And so what would happen is they would go into a land, and God would tell them to take that land and get rid of, run off all the people, and they would let them stick around, even though God had told them to get rid of them. So in this case, when the Assyrians took over, when the Assyrians and the nation of Israel were together for a time, the Assyrians grew very, very powerful. And if the nation of Israel had just done what God had wanted them to do, this wouldn't have happened. But they kept them around. You remember in the story? This is very, very important for the Christian, by the way. The story of the leaven in the New Testament, how it's used as influence, how we're commanded to not have leaven in our lives. We're commanded to not have things in our life which influences us to do things that we shouldn't do. I mean, there's things that because of grace I can do, but it's a bad influence in my life. It's a bad thing that if I do this, it's going to influence me to do more. And so there's that dynamic here is the children of Israel had taken in, not only they had gone into this region, they had allowed the Assyrians to stay, and in the years that followed, the Assyrians grew powerful and they grew mighty, and they became a big enemy of the nation of Israel. And the second dynamic is as they were bigger than the nation of Israel, this indescribable cruelty that David Levy talks about became worse and worse and worse. Nineveh was a city of about 600,000 people, and they tell us it stretched about 2.5 miles along the Tigris River, and it had 15 gates and walls around the city that were 50 feet high, and at that time it stood on a location that was near present-day Iraq, and it was a very powerful city. But the king of that whole region was a very, very cruel man. David Levy goes on to say this right here about this king. Nineveh's king, can't pronounce this, Ashurbanipal. Nineveh's king boasted of his violence. Listen to this. This is terrible. He boasted of his violence and shameful atrocities, which included tearing off the limbs of his victims, putting out their eyes, impaling them on poles, driving stakes through their chest and leaving them to die, boiling them in tar, ripping out their tongues, savage rapes, and skinning people alive. And any people that survived the torture were then deported back to Assyria as slaves. Now that's what God's people went through. That's what the nation of Israel went through. And so when you think of Jonah's disobedience to the Lord, let's not get all high and mighty and say, well, I wouldn't have done that. God told him to. He should have done what God told him to do. Well, yeah, he should have. But in his defense, in his history, all he had seen from the Assyrians, which were the Ninevites, all he had seen was indescribable cruelty to his family and to his countrymen and to his friends. And so when God tells him to go to preach to these people, you can just imagine, Brother Albert, you can just imagine, who, me? You want me to go to these animals and preach to them? I ain't going to do it. And so he runs from God's presence. That's the verses. That's what they tell us. He wants to go to Tarshish, and he wants to go get away from God's presence because he does not want to do what God wants him to do. And he must have wrestled with himself that there's no way he could go over here and give of himself and possibly his life and be nice to these people and try to give them the message of the Lord, because he knew God's mercy was ever-loving mercy. He knew that God's forgiveness was great. He knew that God would extend His grace to these people. And he did not want these people to experience the love of God. He didn't want them to be spared. He wanted them to die. He knew enough about the history of God dealing with people that God many times doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen? Boy, I'm glad of that, Jim, aren't you? God doesn't always give us what we deserve. And for the people of Nineveh, they deserved one thing, but when they repented to the Lord, God gave them something else, and Jonah knew that, and he didn't want to be the man who would give them the message and make that happen. The Bible calls God's mercy loving kindness. Listen to these verses. Let me read these to you. Psalms 107, verse 43 says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Jeremiah 32, verse 18 says, "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men to give everyone according to his ways." See, Jonah knew. He knew this fact. And he knew that God's loving kindness was so overwhelming and so overreaching that once the Ninevites heard the message, that they might repent. And he had such a deep hatred for the Assyrians or for the Ninevites, he didn't want anything to do with that. His bitterness and his animosity toward others would deprive him of doing what God wanted him to do and deprive him of the joy that came from him serving the Lord and proceeding with the plans that God had for him. You know, isn't that terrible? God has a plan for us. God has an expected end. He has something good for us. And there's joy and there's some type of good reward in it for us if we serve the Lord and if we do what He wants us to do, but we don't want to do it because we're mad at somebody. We don't want to do it because we can't forgive this person. We're going to deprive ourselves of the joy of serving the Lord, just like Jonah did here in this case. How tragic it is when we let our bitter hatred or our discrimination or our prejudiceness, we're going to deprive ourselves of the joy that God would give us, and we're not going to take part of that joy because of our hatred towards certain people. We're going to deprive ourselves of the joy because we won't forgive somebody. Matthew 16, verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Friends, this is just a principle. This is a principle found in God's Word that God somehow puts together service to Him and service to others, taking care of people. And yet, in the history of Christianity, you know, you look at the history of Christendom down through the past 2,000 years. There were people who loved the Lord, and there were people who loved His Word, but because of a hatred towards some group of people, there was a great war. There was a great massive amount of death in this war, because these people wouldn't let their hatred go. Isn't that terrible? To deprive yourself of the joy, like Jonah was going to do, because you hated a certain person, because you did not want to forgive somebody, because you didn't treat people the way that God would want you to treat them. Don't forget the story in Matthew 25 where at the end times, let me get to this verse here, Matthew 25, verse 40 says, "And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." And then 5 verses later, he says, "Inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these, then you did it not to me." See, the service to the Lord and His approval of us was tied to what we did for our brother. We've become a people of secluding ourselves away from each other, We can absorb ourselves into our TV, into our life. We can work 60 hours on the job. And then if that weren't enough, I don't have my phone with me, but we got our smartphone and we got our laptop and we got our tablet. And we can spend so much time into all this stuff and not even be concerned about our brother and our sister in Christ. The special dynamic that God has for His people is that, yes, He will teach us through His Word. And yes, He will teach us through the message of our pastor, which we should try to learn as much as we can as he preaches to us. But there's a special dynamic in me taking care of treasure and treasure taking care of me. There's just special dynamic. By the way, she does take care of us very well. Just as a side note, has for many, many years. But God's people should take care of each other. And we shouldn't let our animosity or our refusal to forgive to stand in the way of God's blessings, just like Jonah did. Now, you know the story. Jonah eventually went to Nineveh, and the people repented of their sins. And Jonah, hey, instead of being happy, listen to this. This is just blows my mind. Instead of being happy that the Ninevites repented, it made Jonah mad. You know the story, don't you? He was upset about it. And he went down, and the Bible says he went down to, I believe it said, an eastern location on the east part of the city. And he sat down in the sun, and he was depressed about it because God had done what he said he would, and he spared his enemies. He was all upset that God had extended mercy to his enemies. Now, what kind of attitude is that for the child of God? What kind of attitude is that when I see that God is blessing your life and I cannot be happy for you from something that might have happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago or last week? It's not a good attitude at all. Jonah had time to sit in that in the belly of that well, and he had time to think. The Bible said that when the prodigal came to himself, he had come to the bottom of his barrel and he had realized what he needed to do. I think Jonah had that time there in the belly of the well. He came to himself. And so God gave him a second chance. In chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." And you see in chapter 3 how God took him and he used him. He gave him another opportunity to do what he was supposed to do because God is a God of second chances. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? He wants to use us. Sometimes we say no and we have to go through a little bit of time in the belly of the well. But then he gives us an opportunity to do his bidding. And I am so, so very glad of that. Can I just tell you that as we tie this up, God is still in the business of using people. It's so easy to say, well, you know, I'm kind of in a place right now where I can't affect much for people. I can't influence much. I can't serve the Lord as much as I used to be able to. Well, you know, God uses people. That's always been His vehicle of choice. And God is the God of second chances. So if you or I have said no to Him at some point in the past, know that He is, as a God of second chances, going to extend an opportunity to be used again. Age is not a factor. Looks is not a factor, thank goodness. You know, intelligence or the lack of it thereof is not a factor. God has used people of all ages to accomplish His person. And who are we to second guess that when He impresses it upon our heart to be a blessing to somebody and we say no because of X, this happened, or because they're not really my kind of people, or they act a little different than what I'm comfortable being around. God wants to use us and He wants to bless us, and who are we to say no? He already knows who we are. He knows our abilities. He knows our limitations. He knows our very thought processes. And when He gives us an opportunity to be used in His service, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means you're reading God's Word, and I hope that you are. I hope that January 1st, you wipe the slate clean and you get back into the Word of God and you read it through a year if you can, or as Brother Chris says, the New Testament or some portion of it, but you be faithful to it, because it's important to be faithful to what you commit to the Lord. And as you're reading the Word, He impresses upon your heart to do something. And be prepared, it might be a little difficult. You know, it might be, Linda, I need you to go to Nineveh. Now, there's no Nineveh anymore, but you know what I'm saying. I need you to go to Nineveh and preach to your enemies. It might be as difficult as that is, practically speaking. And we need to be sensitive to the fact that He's given us the opportunity at whatever point we are in life, and we need to oblige and be willing to do what He asks us to do. This is very hard, and sometimes it's very inconvenient, isn't it? We don't want to do that. Sometimes we have such deep-rooted beliefs, we have such deep-rooted reasons, tongue twister, deep-rooted reasons not to do what God asks us to do. And sometimes it's such simple things. Sometimes it's just doing what God asks every believer to do. Back to the reading through the Bible plan, I want to tell you something that has been a blessing in my life. Reese and I have been going through a plan, reading through the Bible plan chronologically. Now, it's a little confusing, okay? But this reading through the Bible plan is one where you actually read the Bible in the time order that they happened. Not in the time that the books were written or the chapters were written, but in the order of chronological events. And that has blessed me. I cannot tell you how, because I'll be reading through this thing. And for example, in the first part of the year, you go from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11. And then it takes you to Job. And so that prompted me to say, well, what's going on here? Why are we jumping over to Job? And you know what I found out? Job and Abraham did not live very far apart. Well, because Abraham is in Genesis and Job is way back here in the Old Testament, you know, the middle of the Old Testament. I just always took it for granted, Stacy, that they lived thousands of years apart. They're nearly contemporaries. I was telling Valerie the other day, I wonder if Abraham and Job ever got a chance to sit down and have coffee. Wonder what they had to talk about. Or their kids, you know? And so I have been blessed on this chronological reading plan because it puts things in my head. And so what I'm trying to say is pick one of the plans and be faithful to it. And God blesses His people when they read His Word. And that's so, so very important. Another example, then I'll quit. Another example is the book of Jonah. 48 verses, such a short book. And did you know there are so many personal applications in those 48 verses that we could probably have 6 months worth of Sunday school lessons. Easy. Because they mean so much. You get into it, you say, well, I've read those 48 verses and I just see a story. Well, just take your time. Go through those 48 verses and ask God to open your eyes and show you what they really mean. And there's so many personal applications in there. And that's what God's Word does to us. He does that for us. He opens our eyes and He shows us. Because I'm constantly reading for whatever reason, whether it's preparing a lesson or going reading through the Bible or whatever, and I'll see something that I've probably read 150 times before and never seen this message that the Holy Spirit just laid upon my heart. This little message. And that's what He does. So avail yourself of the opportunity, if you have not already, to get one of those plans. Even if you say, well, I don't read fast. Well, just do the New Testament. Do the Gospels, you know. But while you do it, don't do it just to check off a list that you've gotten done that day. No, do it with the purpose of hearing from the Lord and let Him speak to you as He so wants to do. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this little story about Jonah.